You're listening to What's New with Wired.
This episode is brought to you by ShipStation. You know, some things take a lot of work, like sending little robots to far-off distant planets. And just as that's challenging, so too is running a successful e-commerce business, especially when there's so much to do. So I want to introduce you all to ShipStation. Now, I love using ShipStation because of its easy-to-use dashboard, which makes managing orders and printing labels a breeze and super smooth. Oh, and the customer service is just out of this world. It's exactly what you need to help grow your business. Sign up for your free 60-day trial at ShipStation.com/technews. That's ShipStation.com/technews.
This podcast is supported by Tools and Weapons, the podcast hosted by Microsoft Vice Chair and President Brad Smith. Each episode features insight you won't find anywhere else from the center of the conversation surrounding emerging technologies like AI. Right now on the podcast, you can hear a special episode where Brad Smith lays out Microsoft's vision for a vibrant marketplace driving the new AI economy. To hear more, follow or subscribe to Tools and Weapons with Brad Smith wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to What's New with Wired.
It's Thursday, April 20th. I'm Sam Lohr. Today, we're talking about how a new generation of AI algorithms can feel like they're reaching artificial general intelligence, but it's not clear how to measure that. Make sure to listen to the end to find out what other Wired podcasts you can check out today. Sebastien Boubec, a machine learning researcher at Microsoft, woke up one night last September thinking about artificial intelligence and unicorns. Boubec had recently gotten early access to GPT-4, a powerful text generation algorithm from OpenAI, and an upgrade to the machine learning model at the heart of the wildly popular chatbot ChatGPT. Boubec was part of a team working to integrate the new AI system into Microsoft's Bing search engine. But he and his colleagues kept marveling at how different GPT-4 seemed from anything they'd seen before. That night, Boubec got up, went to his computer, and asked GPT-4 to draw a unicorn using Tix, a relatively obscure programming language for generating specific diagrams. Boubec was using a version of GPT-4 that only worked with text, not images. But the code the model presented him with, when fed into a Tix rendering software, produced a crude yet distinctly unicorn-y image cobbled together from ovals, rectangles, and a triangle. To Boubec, such a feat surely required some abstract grasp of the elements of such a creature. "Something new is happening here," he says. "Maybe for the first time, we have something we could call intelligence." How intelligent AI is becoming, and how much to trust the increasingly common feeling that a piece of software is intelligent, has become a pressing, almost panic-inducing question. After OpenAI released ChatGPT, then powered by GPT-3 last November, it stunned the world with its ability to write poetry and prose on a vast array of subjects, solve coding problems, and synthesize knowledge from the web. But awe has been coupled with shock and concern about the potential for academic fraud, misinformation, and mass unemployment, and fears that companies like Microsoft are rushing to develop technology that could prove dangerous. Understanding the potential or risks of AI's new abilities means having a clear grasp of what those abilities are and are not. But while there's broad agreement that ChatGPT and similar systems give computers significant new skills, researchers are only just beginning to study these behaviors and determine what's going on behind the prompt. While OpenAI has promoted GPT-4 by touting its performance on bar and med school exams, scientists who study aspects of human intelligence say its remarkable capabilities differ from our own in crucial ways. The model's tendency to make things up is well known, but the divergence goes deeper. And with millions of people using the technology every day and companies betting their future on it, this is a mystery of huge importance. Boubec and other AI researchers at Microsoft were inspired to wade into the debate by their experiences with GPT-4. A few weeks after the system was plugged into Bing and its new chat feature was launched, the company released a paper claiming that in early experiments, GPT-4 showed sparks of artificial general intelligence. The authors presented a scattering of examples in which the system performed tasks that appear to reflect more general intelligence, significantly beyond previous systems such as GPT-3. The examples show that unlike most previous AI programs, GPT-4 is not limited to a specific task, but can turn its hand to all sorts of problems, a necessary quality of general intelligence. The authors also suggest that these systems demonstrate an ability to reason, plan, learn from experience, and transfer concepts from one modality to another, such as from text to imagery. Given the breadth and depth of GPT-4's capabilities, we believe that it could reasonably be viewed as an early, yet still incomplete, version of an artificial general intelligence AGI system, the paper states. Bubeck's paper, written with 14 others, including Microsoft's chief scientific officer, was met with pushback from AI researchers and experts on social media. Use of the term AGI, a vague descriptor sometimes used to allude to the idea of superintelligence or godlike machines, irked some researchers, who saw it as a symptom of the current hype. The fact that Microsoft has invested more than $10 billion in OpenAI suggested to some researchers that the company's AI experts had an incentive to hype GPT-4's potential while downplaying its limitations. Others griped that the experiments were impossible to replicate because GPT-4 rarely responds in the same way when a prompt is repeated and because OpenAI has not shared details of its design. Of course, people also asked why GPT-4 still makes ridiculous mistakes if it is really so smart. Bubeck admits that his study has its limits, including the reproducibility issue, and that GPT-4 also has big blind spots. He says use of the term AGI was meant to provoke debate. Intelligence is by definition general, he says. We wanted to get at the intelligence of the model and how broad it is, that it covers many, many domains. But for all the examples cited in Bubeck's paper, there are many that show GPT-4 getting things blatantly wrong, often on the very tasks Microsoft's team used to tout its success. For example, GPT-4's ability to suggest a stable way to stack a challenging collection of objects, a book, four tennis balls, a nail, a wine glass, a wad of gum, and some uncooked spaghetti, seemed to point to a grasp of the physical properties of the world that is second nature to humans, including infants. However, changing the items and the request can result in bizarre failures that suggest GPT-4's grasp of physics is not complete or consistent. Bubeck notes that GPT-4 lacks a working memory and is hopeless at planning ahead. GPT-4 is not good at this, and maybe large language models in general will never be good at it, he says, referring to the large-scale machine learning algorithms at the heart of systems like GPT-4. If you want to say that intelligence is planning, then GPT-4 is not intelligent. One thing beyond debate is that the workings of GPT-4 and other powerful AI language models do not resemble the biology of brains or the processes of the human mind. The algorithms must be fed an absurd amount of training data, a significant portion of all the text on the internet, far more than a human needs to learn language skills. The experience that imbues GPT-4 and things built with it with smarts is shoveled in wholesale rather than gained through interaction with the world and didactic dialogue. And with no working memory, ChatGPT can maintain the thread of a conversation only by feeding itself the history of the conversation over again at each turn. Yet despite these differences, GPT-4 is clearly a leap forward, and scientists who research intelligence say its abilities need further interrogation. A team of cognitive scientists, linguistics, neuroscientists, and computer scientists from MIT, UCLA, and the University of Texas, Austin, posted a research paper in January that explores how the abilities of large language models differ from those of humans. The group concluded that while large language models demonstrate impressive linguistic skill, including the ability to coherently generate a complex essay on a given theme, that is not the same as understanding language and how to use it in the world. That disconnect may be why language models have begun to imitate the kind of common sense reasoning needed to stack objects or solve riddles. But the systems still make strange mistakes when it comes to understanding social relationships, how the world works, and how people think. The way these models use language by predicting the words most likely to come after a given string is very different from how humans speak or write to convey concepts or intentions. The statistical approach can cause chatbots to follow and reflect back the language of users' prompts to the point of absurdity. When a chatbot tells someone to leave their spouse, for example, it only comes up with the answer that seems most plausible given the conversational thread. ChatGPT and similar bots will use the first person because they are trained on human writing, but they have no consistent sense of self and can change their claimed beliefs or experiences in an instant. OpenAI also uses feedback from humans to guide a model toward producing answers that people judge as more coherent and correct, which may make the model provide answers deemed more satisfying regardless of how accurate they are. Josh Tenenbaum, a contributor to the January paper and a professor at MIT who studies human cognition and how to explore it using machines, says GPT-4 is remarkable but quite different from human intelligence in a number of ways. For instance, it lacks the kind of motivation that is crucial to the human mind. It doesn't care if it's turned off, Tenenbaum says. And he says humans do not simply follow their programming but invent new goals for themselves based on their wants and needs. Another author of the January paper, Kyle Mahawald, an assistant professor of linguistics at the University of Texas at Austin, says it's a mistake to base any judgments on single examples of GPT-4's abilities. He says tools from cognitive psychology could be useful for gauging the intelligence of such models, but he adds that the challenge is complicated by the opacity of GPT-4. It matters what is in the training data, and we don't know. If GPT-4 succeeds on some common-sense reasoning tasks for which it was explicitly trained and fails on others for which it wasn't, it's hard to draw conclusions based on that. Whether GPT-4 can be considered a step toward AGI, then, depends entirely on your perspective. Redefining the term altogether may provide the most satisfying answer. Unfortunately, GPT-4 and ChatGPT are designed to resist such easy reframing. They are smart, but offer little insight into how or why. What's more, the way humans use language relies on having a mental model of an intelligent entity on the other side of the conversation to interpret the words and ideas being expressed. The fact that AI is not like us and yet seems so intelligent is still something to marvel at. Make sure to check out our other Wired podcasts. Today in Wired Business, Meta is finally allowing people to add more links to their Instagram profiles. It's an existential threat to LinkedIn bio companies. Checking in on Wired Science, the search for long COVID treatments takes a promising turn. And on Wired Security, how ChatGPT and bots like it can spread malware. Listen to these stories and more at wired.com/podcasts.
Thanks for listening to Wired. Check back in tomorrow to hear more stories from Wired.com.
Want to learn how you can make smarter decisions with your money? Well, I've got the podcast for you. I'm Sean Piles, and I host NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Our show features our team of nerds, personal finance experts in credit cards, banking, investing, and more. And they'll help you make the most of your money while cutting through the clutter and misinformation in today's world of personal finance. You'll get clarity on strategies to help you build your wealth, invest wisely, shop for financial products, and plan for major life events. Listen to NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you get your podcasts.